It's 7:24 on a Tuesday, or excuse me, Wednesday morning. Of course, a Wednesday, the day after a Tuesday, which means there was a city council meeting last night. We have Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell joining us right now, along with City Administrator Ben Varding. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you both for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it on a beautiful day.
Yes.
Boy, we're heading into almost the summertime, which, of course, you don't have a school schedule like they do at the schools, but nevertheless.
Our family still runs on school calendar.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Know.
That's true. But the city, you know, we've got Memorial Day coming up very shortly with the Memorial Day services at Veterans Memorial Park, and then it's off to summer.
Yes. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the council meeting last night. First of all, you had some public hearings. I guess we can touch on that a little bit. And they involved the senior housing facility up by the hospital. Tell us about those.
I think I'll let Ben speak to those. I think it was pretty much routine in terms of setting up some funding for Benedictine Health Systems. But I think it's really technical, so I'll let Ben speak to that.
So, again, this is what's called conduit debt financing, where the senior housing project out near the hospital is looking at utilizing this this feature that allows issuance of conduit debt, which basically means they can get a lower interest rate as an eligible nonprofit for issuing debt to build this type of a project. So typically, there is no impact to the city's debt. So it was really kind of an education last night about what conduit debt financing and how it benefits the developer potentially, as well as really not having any impact to the city directly. So it's a very common tool used for that, because they can get a little bit better interest rate, which can generate more interest in the bonds that they issue for financing for people purchasing that. So it can really help drive the cost down on the project, which is definitely a positive thing for them. So in our case, there are limits, though, on every community. So you have to go through a governmental entity to get the approval. And in our case, the debt that we're already using puts us in a position where it's not as favorable to them. It just doesn't work out. But you can go to other communities as well to get that authorization. The community in which the project's based has to give their blessing to it, basically, which is what the council did last evening. And Red Wing is actually the one that's supporting it. They saw a few different communities where they had operational locations in, and they had received approval last night, subject to Northfield's approval from there. And so sometimes communities benefit, like Red Wing, where they might get a small administrative fee for the processing of that, too. So that's where there's maybe a mutual win in some cases. So that's basically there's more detail behind it, but in general, that's what it is. They get more favorable terms by going through and getting special recognition and in their bond ratings on that. In the community that they're in, I think some of it's a reflection of the health of the community, too, by, you know, if you've got a strong community with a good bond rating, they can benefit from that as well. So those are some benefits with that. One of the things that did come up that will be a future discussion for the council is this is actually financing with Benedictine, not with Yannick. So when the council previously did approvals, Yannick was going to be the developer and owner of the property. In this case, that switching, it did contemplate that could change, that where the ownership would be assigned. It's in the process of being pursued to be switching that over, where Benedictine would be the owner and operator. They would still work with Yannick on being the developer, but they're looking at taking a lead role. So there was a very little discussion of that. It was a key point that was picked up by the council, and we mentioned that. So there will be agreements coming back. Fully assume the they're not making major changes to the project, so most of it will just be ownership-related issues. The attorney's working through that, and we'll be coming back to the council with more information and action in order to authorize that.
Will that change anything that the city will be doing in the future with the project or with the two companies?
It shouldn't. No. So it should be. I mean, it's going to be the same scope. It's going to be the same design and all those things that we worked through. It's more of a legalities of changing the ownership names primarily, and if there are any, I don't know, I kind of get into more like legal technical language that are in there that they might have an issue with that in the old agreement that Yannick was okay with. Those are the details that the attorney's kind of leading right now that'll be coming to the council. But all of the other details of the project should be moving forward as planned in the designs of the project, so nothing substantively changed on the project scope.
All right, let's move on. You awarded the bid for the sale of over $4 million in general obligation bonds. That, of course, for the NAFRS expansion project. How does this work when you do bonding? You put out a bid, a request for bids, and you come back with the best one. Is it just like anything else that the city would hire for?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, it's similar, but we have more. This is kind of like getting into brokerage type work. So we hire professionals to put this mm-hmm. out on the market and sell the bonds, kind of like, you know, people buy stocks and bonds sure. all the time. So if you're local and you want to purchase Northfield bonds, you're looking at making investments, we can put you in contact with people that have interest in that when you're going through the bond sale. So in this case, Ehlers and Associates helps facilitate that. They're purely a financial advisor. They do not get into purchasing bonds. They're only truly a financial consultant. So they basically broker that all with us, with our legal counsel. So they put it out on the market, do all the legal work that's required to get it legally out there in the documents. So we had, so it is competitively bid on the day. So yesterday was the sale day at 10 o'clock in the morning. So they do all the paperwork. We get bond ratings of it. And we got five bids on that in Northland Securities, who is a financial advisor and a broker. Mm-hmm. They play a dual role in the market, so some cities work with them, and they do both. We got very competitive interest rates, 3.23%. So they range from that on the low end to the high end of 3.37. So slight uptick on what we were expecting on the interest rate. The original projections were slightly less than that, but it's pretty much right on spot. So
now, does that have anything to do with our bond rating? Anything to do with what the city has done or hasn't done, or is that just a market-driven thing?
Good question. So, yes, it's a combination of both. So, first of all, you want to have as strong of a bond rating as you can. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like if you're personally, you want to get a good credit score, it's kind of similar to that. So it's kind of our equivalent of a credit score. We have a AA rating. The council asked some good questions about that with our consultant. We got our rating reaffirmed, which there's only two ratings that are higher in the state of Minnesota, a AA plus and a AAA rating. And AAA really are cities like Minneapolis, Edina, I think, probably would fall into that. So one of the things that fall into the rating that makes it harder for us to get any higher is just the size of our community. So mm-hmm. part of it's a reflection of how big you are, how you can sustain major changes in maybe your employment and local economy. So the bigger you are and the less codependent on the existing individual entities, the stronger. So that's one area. But they highlighted things like strong budgetary performance, rapid debt payoff, where we do shorter payoff of our debt versus spreading it out over a long time. Institutional strong management that the council has on their review. Fund balance that we carry is very important so that if we have a crisis, we can manage that crisis. So that was very positive that we have reaffirmed our AA rating. It'd be pretty tough to get an increase on that, but probably growing the economy is one of the key pieces of that you could potentially look at. But we're going to get some comparable cities. The council asked for some of that information, so we might give them an idea of how we stack up. But that is an important piece to it because you want to have good credit rating, and but then you want to hit the market the right time, too. You can't always control that, but interest rates are still really low, and that's another positive about doing a project like this is we continue to see really strong low interest rates, mm-hmm. which makes it easier. Our dollar goes further, I guess, with that to build the project. So it's good timing from that standpoint.
All right. Once again, we're talking with Ben Martin, Northfield's city administrator, and also Mayor Pownell. Let's move on. You talked about the assessments for the Division Street and 7th Street reconstruction, the Washington Street mill and overlay. You had some discussion. Was that was it last council meeting that you had the public hearing on that? You had some people talk on that, but this time you had to adopt it. What was the final outcome? How did that turn out?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think this is really normal process mm-hmm. that once you start the street projects, right, and you get the public hearing for the assessments, that then the very next step is to actually adopt them. And typically, if there's concerns that have been raised during the public hearing, right, then you address them in that follow-up meeting. And so really the staff report that was presented to the council last night was doing just that. And so I think we tried a couple different times. There were a couple different alternates that were mentioned in the council packet. And I think council brought forward a potential other one to change the assessment role. But really what we ended up doing is just moving forward the staff recommendation, which is accepting the assessment role as is. But I think there was good discussion around that, just in terms of, do we want to continue with the current assessment policy? Is there a better way that it could be done? And I think we've asked our finance policy committee to really look at that to see what other cities are doing, what's best practices out there. But making that change midstream right now when we're in the midst of a street project isn't probably the best time to make a high-level policy change like that. So I think there'll be further vetting of the assessment policy and whether or not we should continue to fund just a portion of our streets. The assessment policy really only funds about 25% of the total project cost. And please correct me if I'm wrong on that, Mr. Martig. So it really is a very small portion, but it's really important to people because it is a chunk of change that you have to put forward to help get our streets accomplished, and everybody uses the streets.
Well, there's certain, that's kind of a complicated formula that's used. Were there certain aspects of that formula that were in question? Was there any particulars in there that you were going to look at, or is it just the thing as a whole?
There were two primary issues that the council looked at last night that we had some votes on. They ended up coming to a kind of a compromise. The one was is how to deal with religious institutions, the churches that we have on there that are nonprofits, and in the past, trying to look at past practice of what we did, and then also in this case. So what we did, we do appraisals on individual properties, and in this case, we did also look at some of the churches. And so it was determined that some of them had a more of a residential rate, some had a commercial rate in this case. So that was one of the debates was is, should we have a more standard rate for religious institutions? Because if they aren't really intending to sell, or the use of the building might have more restrictions. That was some of the discussion. It got more complex than that on the debate of that. Historically, too, there have been cases like back in 2015, I believe it was, they had done a street project, a church, and they didn't do an appraisal on the specific church. They just assigned a residential rate to it. So there had been some past practice of just going with a residential rate on it and not. So there was good discussion about should our policy isn't completely explicit on that. Should we make some exceptions on use? So that was where there was a split vote on that alternative. It didn't pass. Mm-hmm. There was one other issue related to the appraisal had a per square foot rate for the improvement, but they also had a fixed dollar amount. So there was some debate, too, about does that mean it's the fixed dollar amount's the maximum, or is it either or? So the staff interpreted that it meant $66 a square foot or the maximum or the flat dollar amount. So there was a motion that also failed on that issue to make it more of the fixed dollar amount. It gets a little complicated to explain, I guess, with the complexities of this. Yeah. But it ultimately, there was multiple motions. It got a little stalled out, and the mayor's facilitating all of that with the council, and they actually made a motion to reconsider, so some change of their vote to get it moved forward. But, I mean, I do think on the grand scheme of things, we had one appeal, and really we were narrowed down to a couple of different policy issues that the council was discussing. So although it's very complex and, you know, it took some time and the council worked through it, in the grand scheme of things, I think it worked and it held up. And as the mayor alluded to on the formula, when we come back to the council and get into that and explain it again, you'll find that when you're in the if you use this way of doing things where you do a special assessments under Minnesota state law, there's no perfect way to do it. You always have nuances in every case that have some exceptions where there's no perfect way to set up a formula and a base up front where you're going to have some variations that you're going to have to work through. So one thing, I guess, as we work through the council on that is that you got to recognize that maybe we can tweak it and make it better, but there will always be these types of issues with it. And that's what at least I think they'll learn if we go through some of that discussion. There are other ways to just not do it at all, though, so that's another thing we can go back to the council with and say, if we want to get away from the special assessment process, how do we do that and how do we fund that? Because as the mayor said, it's 20-25% of the total project.
All right, we have to move on. Lastly, City Administrator Martig had his review recently, and Mayor Pownell, maybe you can handle this one. What did you find out?
Yeah. I think we had a really great review process, and the council concluded that Mr. Martek has met and exceeded expectations as our city administrator and approved a two-step increase last night. So
a two-step increase?
Yes.
Not one, but two. That's is that unusual, or is that? I mean, I don't know too much about the steps, but how does that fit in with the norm?
I think that the council had a little bit of discussion about that last night, and I guess I can't comment too much on what has been done each year in the past, but the council has a prerogative to give a step increase or two-step increase or not to give a step increase, and the council really decided based on the review because Mr. Martek has met and exceeded expectations, and we are really grateful for his service here in our community that it warranted a two-step increase. And
all right.
So the council voted in favor of that last night, and I think it was good discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Martek, job well done.
Thank you.
Continue. It's not done yet. Continue doing a good job for us. We're about out of time. Any final thoughts on either last night's meeting or what's coming up here in Northfield?
I think there's just we have June 2nd, East Cannon River Trail grand opening. I think some people have already been on the trail and just had commented even last night that's absolutely beautiful. So June 2nd, I think information should probably be on the city website for people to come out. There'll be some extra little things happening around that grand opening, and it's just looking forward to showcasing it in a broader way to the community. It's just been an excellent project.
Wonderful. Thank you, too, for coming in. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again, next time you're in.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martek.